to the sacred desk. Amen. And we have some things that we'd like to talk with you about today. Now, some of you were issued a copy of this lesson on last week, if you happen to be here. And just want to say that we put it aside because the Spirit of God led us to go a different route on last week. And so if you weren't here, we really can't explain what went on, but you should have been here. Best we can say. Amen. If you had been here, you would have been blessed. Amen. But we thank God that you are here today. Amen. And without any further delay, we're going to go right ahead. This is a message that had been dropped in my spirit to share with the church and with the world. You know, every message we broadcast, we put it online so that it can be heard around the planet. And I've gotten some email out of Pakistan from some ministers there who go and visit on our website, and it becomes a resource for them and other places around the globe. So it is a blessing to put the word out there so it's free. The church finances it, and that's what we're supposed to do because we are the local church. It is our responsibility to take the gospel to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
Amen. That's how Jesus said we are to occupy until he comes. Amen. He said he'll be with us even to the end of the world.
Yes.
And so we want to do that. We like doing that, publishing the word. Every one of you is a chosen vessel that God has selected. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are a part of this movement known as the church. Yeah. It is a human organism that works in mysterious ways, empowered from within by God the Holy Spirit, to be witnesses to what God has done in your life. It's pretty simplistic. A very interesting thing about God, and I'm just going to give you this comment before we actually read our text here, which will be found in Psalms number 2, and we're going to read 7 to 12, and also a New Testament passage from 2 Peter 3, 9 to 18. We're going to take a look at some things here. But the interesting thing is that God has invested in people. He does not invest necessarily in any institutions or buildings or any of that kind of thing. But the people need buildings to meet in. So that's the reason why we congregate in buildings. But we also remain the church even when we depart the facility. Those of you who have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and believe it, you are still a carrier of the message. And you are therefore deputized by God to represent him wherever you are and to whomever you come in contact with. And so I feel good about that. I don't know how you feel about it. And also it helps me too, because since it's such a high calling, it has to make me check my behavior when I go out. I can't just do anything or say anything or be found in any certain places. You know, I try to go through the world thinking about who you are in Christ. God loves you. He selected you and he wants you to be. In fact, you are. I'm not going to say he wants you to be. He has made you different. You know, when you got saved, if you really understood what happened to you, that's why Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
No way.
For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It's not something that the flesh can perceive. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not. Don't let that blow your mind, we would say these days. That you must be born again. It's a new birth. You are a new individual, born again by the Spirit of God, sealed by the Spirit of God, being sanctified by the Spirit of God, being taught by the Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God. All these things are going on of you if you're saved. So you ought to think, God thought you were somebody special. He made you special. But he didn't mean for us to get on a pedestal because we're special. He meant take you from where you are because you know where I bought you from, and let other people know that this goodness is available for them as well. So that's it. And then it's my desire, Jesus said. He said, go ye therefore and teach all the nations. See, so you and I are all called to teach. Teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The baptism assumes that they're going to hear the message that you teach them about Christ, that there is no war between you and God if you come by the name of Jesus Christ. And can they believe that? Is that a believable message? Yes, it is. Why? Yes. Because your calendar tells you that Jesus Christ was born into this world.
Yes,
it's not telling you about anyone but Jesus. 2017 years ago, the Messiah was born. So you can tell them that. Go put that one in your pipe and smoke it. You know, you want to tell me about something else? Look at this one here. Check that and find out, is it true?
Yeah.
See, I give folks salient things they can check. You can go check this. And if you think that's some kind of a hoax, then you tell me about it. But I can see that it's not, because God had to do that.
Yeah.
You know, no one else could do that but God. And so I want to put that on your plate. Then after that, maybe I can have a Bible study with you after this, after you come to understand that the world is configured around Jesus. Your birth certificate, all of the documents that you sign, every check that you write, everything you do in life is centered on Christ, whether you like it or not. So you ought to realize God loved you. That's why he gave Christ, made him that famous, so that you could trust in him and know that you have a right relationship with God. Now I'm going to go ahead. I kind of somewhat spilled the beans, but I had to say that today to get that off my chest.
Right.
So let us stand right now, and I want you to read with me some verses from I'm not going to call it my favorite psalm here, but it is. I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. And I want you all to go ahead and read Psalms number 2, 7 to 12. Go ahead and read that nice and loud.
The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Answer me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession.
Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Psalms number 2 from the Old Testament, the KJV. Now from the New Testament, we're going to read 2 Peter 3, verses 9 to 18. Read. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us war, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account the long suffering of our Lord in salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the sanctuary, in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I want to talk with you on a subject of life, living life, based on the outcome. Living life based on the outcome. Amen. And we're going to explain that in just a minute. That was a lengthy passage in Peter, but I did that intentionally because I want you to get the gist of what I'm saying here about living life based on the outcome. Let us have a quick word of prayer. Lord God, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you, we need you right now, Father. We need you to help us understand how we can live in this time that we are here, that you have given us. And live based on how things are going to be, not based on how things are right now. Father, open our minds and our understanding that we might get a blessing from this message today. And we ask this, that you might be glorified in all the earth, for truly you are worthy. And we ask it in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the risen one out of the grave. To him be the glory, the majesty, the dominion, and the power now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said together, amen. Go ahead and give God a hand praise right now. Amen. He is worthy to be praised. Amen. Now what I want you to see here, this is a kind of a somewhat of a deep lesson. I think this is why the Lord tabled the message, to give us time to simmer a little bit before we came around to this one here.
Yeah.
But I want you to see some things here based on this topic, that living life, that means how you live your life every day, the things that you do day in and day out. Sometimes we say it seems to be kind of typical or mundane or just everyday in and out circumstances we're going through seem a little plain, perhaps. And some other days seem a little bit more challenging, and some days are downright disgusting, and there's all kinds of days. There's days when you get up and you'd rather stay in the bed, pull the covers back over your head and go back to sleep, but that's not possible in many days. So I got to get up and drag myself into whatever I got to do. But how do we live life, this typical everyday, getting up, going about, going to work, doing what we got to do, and base that on how things are going to turn out in the future? The only people who can do that, let me say, or the folks who are saved. If you're saved, you can do this. And I want to let you know, because your outcome has already been determined. God has filled you with the Holy Spirit. He's given you his word. The word tells you how everything started. It tells you how it's going to be along the way. And it tells you how it's going to end up. We have a complete story from God about where things are going. And that's why Paul told, as Peter said, some of the things Paul wrote are difficult to be understood. That's why I included those verses. Is he said that you and I can see into the future. You and I can see into the future. Why? Because God has disclosed the future to his people. He's told you everything that's going to happen already. He's told you that the wicked are going to be destroyed. People who deny him. People who forsake him. He also told you he is not his desire that any should perish. So we understand that. It's not, God's not going to be happy when he destroys the wicked. That's not going to make him joyful. You know what? He would be more joyful if the wicked would repent and turn around and believe. Because that's, and I was listening to Dr. Chuck Missler, and he said this. He said one of the greatest enigmas that he has in his mind is how God, who wants all men to be saved, how is he going to balance the tension between wicked people who refuse to receive his son? Because it's not his desire that they would be destroyed.
That's right.
He's going to destroy them with a broken heart. If you don't believe, you're going to be God's heart is going to be destroyed. He's going to be broken in his heart when he has to destroy you because you refuse to believe the truth. What a paradox. God loves you. He wants you to be saved. You know what? But God wants you to be free. You are free. He's not going to make you believe.
That's right.
Although he does call you.
Yeah.
He calls you. He wants you to believe. He wants you to be saved. He does not want you to be destroyed. And you know how we know? Because God put his information right in the book. And not only is it in the book, but it's implanted, indelibly printed in the world. You want to talk about a 3D printer? The stuff people talk about. God said, it's not enough that I should stay a nebulous God somewhere way out there in the by and by.
All right.
You know what I did? I came down and took your image.
Yes.
First, I gave you my image. That's an invisible image. Y'all have to get deep with me here.
All right.
When God said, let us make man in our image, there was no physical image.
That's right.
That was a deep ethereal kind of thing. And you know how you know you have it? Because you have a mind, you have a will, you have emotions. We have all kinds of invisible stuff in our life. Every one of us. And we enjoy. Life would be ridiculous without the invisible stuff.
All right.
Amen.
Don't look at me too crazy. But suppose you didn't have sound. Sound is in the room. It's invisible. You can't see it. You hear it. But God gave you some receptors to receive something invisible that we call sound. Sound can also warn you of situations. That's why they blast lights and stuff on emergency equipment to let you know I'm coming through. It's an emergency. Get out of the way. So sound is an invisible thing.
Amen.
Music is an invisible thing. What would the world be without music? It would be awful, wouldn't it? I think it would be awful. Not because I'm a musician, but I just love music. I don't know about you.
Amen.
And you know what? There's good music and there's bad music. Some of it's awful, makes you feel bad. You know? But now, music is a wonderful thing. You see what I mean? So, not only that, but we could go on and on. The room is filled with air, oxygen, all kinds of gases. The world is made out of invisible stuff. God put a lot of it around you so it would be easy for you to believe in him without seeing him. And then he said, I'm going to make you in my own image. That was an image that has a spirit. How many have seen their spirit? We don't see it. We see how the body reacts to it. You got a soul. How many have seen the soul? Not your shoe. We're talking about just the soul, the inside. You see, and we have a mind, we have a will, we have desire, we have love, we have emotions. We got all kinds of invisible stuff that works in our mind, our life every day. What would be the life without any of that? You see, it would be terrible, wouldn't it? And so in his image, he made us. We have a lot of invisible, lofty characteristics. We have compassion, we have mercy, things we talk about, but they're invisible. But they're in every one of you. And so God made us man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. See? And women are different than men. The invisible stuff about women is different than the invisible stuff about men. That's an awesome thing. Yo, guys, y'all really have to learn this if you haven't learned it yet. You know, women are way different than men, even though they have invisible qualities. And I want to say this, and it's not just because my anniversary is coming up, but I really love and appreciate my wife. And St. Timothy is much better with her because she knows a lot more about what stuff sometimes needs to be done than I do.
All right. Amen.
That's why a man is not complete until he finds that right woman for himself. And I don't sometimes don't blast the trumpet about her, but she is awesome. And if you've been watching her around her, you know she helps with almost everything in the church. And so I don't want that to go without being said. I want her to understand that right now. But God made them male and female intentionally. So there will be some balance in the world. And I don't want to spend a lot of time with that, but let me say the word of God, the spoken word, is invisible.
All right.
That's why it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, when we preach the word, the word of God, that's how things got started. Remember last week, we said our thought for the week was that we believe in the Big Bang Theory.
Come on now.
And somebody said, what? When they believe in the Big Bang Theory? Yeah, God spoke and bam! Everything came into existence. Exactly as he said it. See, so that was the Big Bang. He said it and it happened. It was so. That's what Moses kept saying as he wrote it down. And it was so. And it was so. Everything he said, bam, there it was. So the word has power. The Bible says in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him. And without him there was not made anything that was made. In him was life. See, life comes in by the word. See, and it's a wonderful thing that God made that invisible component of your life so he could speak into your life. That's why the Bible says life and death, what, is in the power of the tongue. Wow, and the tongue is a physical thing that gives words and shape to the words that we are speaking into our lives. And speaking into other people's lives. Speaking into the room. Speaking into everything we do. Your job consists of you speaking and communicating what it is that you do. So it's a powerful thing.
Yes, it is.
Now, not when I'm beating that subject to death. We talk about it quite a bit around here. But when God spoke the word, and you notice the book of Revelation, they say, was finished in about 95 A.D. Mm-hmm. Now, how long that's been? About 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And God said, that's it. I don't even need to say anything else.
All right.
Everything I need to say to mankind has been said.
Amen.
You know what? He waited until all the best of man had said all their best stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, Socrates had written his little dissertation.
Amen.
Plato had written his dissertation.
Yeah.
All these different people, all these philosophers,
yeah,
wrote down everything. Aristotle wrote everything he thought, you know, that life was all about. God waited on all of them to shoot their best shot and stop beating up on their biscuit buster. And then he said, I'm going to write my last word here. And he said, this word here, I seal with a curse.
Yeah.
Revelation 22:18.
Yeah.
If anybody adds to the words of the book of this prophecy, I will add to him the plagues that are written in this book.
All right.
You know, and he says that this is it. This is it. This is my final dissertation. This is how everything is going to go. Now, if you believe, you get in on understanding how things are going to turn out.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about any bleak future.
Come on.
What was it that made Joseph able to stay in the situation he was in all those years? Because God had given him a promise. Everybody laughed at his promise, belittled him, talked about him, and even hated him because of what God promised. But he was able to stay in captivity in Egypt for years and years and years. And then when it was revealed, he said, you know what? Y'all did all that stuff and you meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. So whatever I went through, I understand. He was living his life based on the outcome of a situation. You know how he knew it was going to come out that way? God said it's going to be. That's all he went by. God told me this. They laughed at him and mocked him and everything. His own brothers, his own family. You think we're going to bow down to you? Who you think you are? You little dreamer. They talked about him like a dog. So when somebody's putting you down and you're taking a stand on what God told you, keep on standing. Keep standing.
Amen.
Be confident of what God has said to you. Nobody can change it.
Nobody.
The heavens and the earth can pass away, but his word will never pass away. That's what he said. Mark 13:31. So if you're standing on the word, you're standing on a better piece of real estate than the earth. Because he said the heavens and the earth shall pass away. They will. They're going to roll up like a scroll and go out of existence. Guess what? My word will never pass away. So you got a foundation if you trust God. Stand on what he said. You can live life based on the outcome of all things because God told you what's going to happen. You can count on it. I don't care what Trump is doing. Don't make no difference what Putin is doing. Makes no difference what's going on and all around the world. Hurricanes are not going to change what God said. Famine and disease and drought is not going to change what God said. Nothing on this earth is going to change what God said. Nothing in the heavens is going to change what he said. So you and I can take a firm stand. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. And he says now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith means I trust what God says with my whole heart. I lean on it totally. Don't make no difference how it looks around me. Might look like I'm suffering and taking buffering, as y'all used to say. You know, but the fact is, it makes no difference. God's word is going to come to pass.
Yes.
It's certain. That's what faith is. I know you're going to do what you said, Lord.
Yeah.
You know how we know? We got enough evidence.
Yeah.
He didn't just leave it where you just had a nebulous word out there. He came into the flesh. The Bible says the word became flesh. John 1:14. And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. John said, we saw it. We beheld his glory with our own eyes, the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Yeah.
He promised he was going to come in the flesh. You know when he did that in Genesis?
Yeah, yes, he did.
All the way back in Genesis chapter 3, when sin first came in, God already had a solution for the problem.
Yes, he did.
See, and so you can count on it. You can live your life based on how the outcome of all things will be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can be optimistic when other people are depressed.
Yeah.
And what the stock market crumbled not long ago, a whole lot of folks was depressed.
Yeah.
Oh, I lost my this, that, and the other. They lost so much. The folks who were grounded in God were not depressed.
Yeah.
They may have lost some funds too.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? God says, I'm going to be all right.
Yeah.
He said, you're going to make it through.
Yeah.
He said, you're more blessed with me than you would ever be without me.
That's right.
He said, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof.
Yeah.
The world and they who dwell in it. Whatever you had, it can come again or you can get more.
Yeah.
So why would you be depressed to jump off a building like some of them did? Because you didn't trust God. You had your hope built on something less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You weren't standing on Christ, the solid rock. See, else you would never take yourself out over something crazy like that. You know, the fact is, whatever I have, if God sees, like Job is a good example. He gave you a living witness to show you a person that was the wealthiest man of the men of the East. And he had everything taken away. People started to say, man, you must be whacked out. You look what you're doing. You must have done some evil. No, he didn't. God was just allowing them to see that a man of faith can stand through everything.
That's right.
And God restored to Job the things that he had lost.
Yeah.
Even more than what he had before.
Yeah.
He got to the point where his own household was coming and then the wife said, well, this is enough, Job. Just cuss God and die.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, she was sincere. But I told you women are not wired like men. Job said, oh, foolish woman, shall we receive goodness from the Lord and not adversity?
Yes.
The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, bless his name no matter what. And so you and I can make it through. Now this is what I want you to see. Let's cut to the chase here. I'm about to get carried away here with all this. But you can see this in all the tents in the Word. You can see it everywhere. Just look at anybody you want to pick. Pick David when he was running from Saul. God already anointed you the king. So he said, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. That's God's business. When it's my time, it'll be my time. I'm going to reign when God says it's time. I'm going to rule when he says it's time. In the meantime, I'm just going to keep my peace. I'm not going to attack Saul and usurp what God has promised me.
That's right.
You know what? Because if God promised you, guess what? All the devils in hell can't stop it from coming to you.
All right.
So meditate on his promises. Realize I love you.
Yeah.
You can live your life based on the outcome that God has promised you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Look at this now. Psalm 2, David, same person I mentioned, writing, I will declare the decree. Oh, this is a decree from God.
Yeah.
The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Wow, what decree was that? That's the decree the Father said to the Son. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. This revelation was given to David. He was the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. He told him that you're going to have a son that sit up on your throne that will rule and reign forever and ever. That's the promise that had been given all the way back in Genesis. The son of David, it came to be known. He came to be known as the son of David. That's why when Jesus came, they said, son of David, have mercy on us. And see what? That's the same fulfillment of the promise that he gave to Abraham. That in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And he passed it on up, took Abraham from a Bedouin shepherd wandering through the promised land and exalted his seed, David, to be the greatest king that ever lived. Seated him on a throne. See, from Abraham to King David, 14 generations. From David until the deportation into Babylon, 14 generations. From that time to the birth of Christ, 14 generations. Matthew 1:17, if you want to look it up. But this is a decree written here by David. Generations before Jesus was born. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen. That word can be translated Gentiles. For thine inheritance. This is not Jews, other people other than Jews. Referred to as heathen here. For thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. See that? Not just the promised land to the Israelites, but the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Who was that? Who's supposed to go tell the uttermost part of the earth that the Son of God has come? The church. When Jesus got up out the grave after he defeated death in the grave, he said, go and teach all the nations. Same word.
That's it.
Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you.
Yeah.
And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world.
Amen.
See, so he's dispatching the church. It's included in the passage that you're looking at, written by David.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen or the Gentiles for thine inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Now here's the bad part. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel, because the world is going to rebel against the Messiah. And there's going to be a great day of judgment. It's going to be Messiah himself breaking them like a potter's vessel, like taking a rod of iron, slapping on pottery. What do you think is going to happen? Who's going to win that one? That's pretty easy, isn't it? He doesn't want that. But the paradox is there.
Yeah.
This is the decree from God.
Yeah.
I declare the decree, verse 7 says. See that? So this is spoken in the world, but you can live your life based on the outcome. And here you can see God's heart grappling with the situation that he will have to judge the wicked in verse number 9. Verse 10, be wise now therefore, O ye kings.
Mm-hmm.
It would be wise for you to see what God has done. It would be wise for you to pay attention that Jesus is Lord, nobody else. The world is configured around him, nobody else. People out here talking about all kind of stuff you ought to believe. Ain't none of y'all got out the grave. Not a one of you. Only one got up out the grave. The world is only configured around one. And his name is Jesus. So be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. I'm trying to teach you something here. Open up your ear.
He's
saying. Because I don't want to have to put you in that verse where I'm breaking you like a rod of iron. With a rod of iron, like a potter's vessel.
Yeah.
Serve ye the Lord with fear.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, reverence God.
Mm-hmm.
And rejoice with trembling. See, he wants you to rejoice and be joyful, but you should always be in awe of God. He's a mighty one.
Mm-hmm.
He's a powerful one. Don't get too arrogant with God.
Watch out.
Amen.
You know, be in fear. In other words, reverence. I hold you in reverence.
That's right. Amen.
You see? All the time. Don't ever get too flipped with God.
Watch out.
Verse 12. Kiss the Son lest he be angry. Now you want to make God mad? Reject the Son. Kiss the Son lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. That's the plural for all y'all. That ye. When his wrath is kindled but a little. We only need just a little drop of God's judgment. It's enough to destroy everything. And we're going to see that. If you don't want to be on that side of God.
Amen.
That's the wrong side.
Right.
How do you get right trust in Christ?
Right.
Believe that God raised him from the dead.
Amen.
That's the decree right there. Verse 7. See that? That's what he said. Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. See what I'm saying? Now notice this, he says, but blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Verse 12, you can see both groups of humanity in these last verses. You can see believers and unbelievers. God wants you to all be believers. That's why he sends preachers to preach, to tell you, trust me, I love you.
Yeah.
And he didn't just sit there in heaven and say, on a nebulous cloud and say, I love you. He came down. His word became flesh.
Yes,
and he gave his son to be adored and honored by the whole of humanity.
Amen.
And he gave us the privilege to preach that to the ends of the earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, so that's why David started back here talking about, I declare the decree the Lord has said unto me.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to preach Christ to the ends of the earth. Now, look at what Peter said. We're going to have to cut to a chase here because our time's getting away. I get enthused. I had too much time to think about this one. So, y'all forgive me just a minute here. But this is what I want you to see here. Being able to predict trends has been the means of success for many multi-million dollar organizations because there is a great benefit in knowing the outcome of a thing, which can pay off in the long run. Much like the psalmist David, who recognizes that he has been selected to declare the decree of the Most High God to the entire world. That Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, is the crux of salvation to all men everywhere in all of time. What a decree. That's what we're dealing with. That's why we call it the gospel. It's the good news. No matter what you have done, no matter what you're dealing with in your life. And you know what? We're all dealing with something. Let's be truthful here this morning. Everybody got some struggle with some kind of sin issue in their life.
Amen.
It don't make no difference how long you've been saved.
All right.
That's right.
You got stuff that's not right.
That's right. That's right.
If you're going to get right, how is it going to happen? Trust in Christ.
Trust in Christ.
And God will forgive you.
Yes.
And he's going to show you how to fix the problem.
That's right.
You know what? I'm not as sinful as I used to be, but I'm still not perfect.
Right.
But the declaration of God is if you trust in Christ, then he declares you perfect.
Yes,
that's what we need in order to be declared perfect.
Amen.
God knew that. He knew how defective we were.
Mercy, Lord.
He knows how defective we are.
Yes.
I'm happy that he's a merciful God.
Yes. Amen.
And so people say, oh, I'm going to wait till I get myself together and then I'm going to join the church. You better get in here right now.
Amen.
Get in here now. You don't have a second to waste. Because you don't know when you're going to take your last breath.
Come on.
You better trust him now.
Nah.
He didn't say when you get holy, come in here. Because you know what? Who would be in here?
No one.
There wouldn't be a soul in here. It would be empty up in here, let me tell you. You know what? You're holy because God set you apart when you trust Christ.
That's right.
When you believe in him, he covers you with Christ. That's why Jesus came, to cover sinners. Paul said, I am the chief of sinners. You know, and he's the one who writes half the New Testament. Now, this is no excuse to sin. Don't misunderstand me.
That's right. Amen.
God doesn't want people sinning.
No.
He doesn't think it's okay for people to sin. But he knows that we're so pitiful that if he doesn't save us, we can't be helped.
No way.
It'd be about like if I was out in the ocean going down. And if I keep going down, eventually I'm not coming up anymore. That's what salvation is. I'm going to get you and stop you from going down the last time. I'm going to pull you up to safety. See, that's what salvation. I'm snatching you out of the burning fire and bringing you to myself because I want to. I'm good and I'm able to do it. See, so that's what God is doing. He's saving you. That's what salvation is. I'm going down, Lord, the last time. And he said, come on up. And he set my foot up on a rock. And begins to make me better. That's what he wants to do with you. You need him bad. I hope you know it. If you don't, get started right away. You don't have another second to waste. The word of God is given to us the entire outcome of the entire world in all of time. That's what the Bible is about. Therefore, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ can live right now based on the outcome of eternity with full certainty, which should be a motivation to act on the truth rather than the lies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. You know how stuff's going to turn out. God already told you. That ought to be a motivation for me to do better. And it will be if I believe. But you know what? I don't hear it all from God. That's why you must be in church. That's why I love the church. It's at the church where you get stuff God said made plain to you. So you can move on it. I can act on it. Some of it I might go right out the door and it went in one ear and out the other. I've been like that before too. But some of it sticks. Some of it gets in. Some of it I say, I can do this, Lord. And all of it makes me say, God, I confess that I'm wrong here and I need help. That's why he said, this do as often as you do this. In remembrance of me. And you do show forth my death, my burial, and my resurrection. Remember, you're saved because of what I did. But when you come to the table of the Lord, I'm confessing my sin. I'm asking God to wash me, Lord. Help me, cleanse me. Move me closer to Christ's likeness. And thank you for saving me. All of that's what I'm going through, what I'm at the table. So God, He prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. The world and the flesh trying to take me out.
Come on.
But God wants you to stay in. Let's move to the New Testament here. 2 Peter 3. Now, this is Peter. He says, some people say, well, y'all, God going to do all that? What is he waiting on? They want to rush God. And you really don't want to rush God. Let me tell you. You really don't. You know, I need his merciful time and waiting. You see, because I want to be the best I can be when the trumpet sounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Peter said the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Thank you, Lord.
God doesn't want to judge a soul and cast them in hell. Not one. He's giving you time. That's the reason why he's waiting.
That's it.
But the day of the Lord will come.
Yeah.
As a thief in the night. Mm. Nobody's going to be expecting it.
That's right.
You know, it's not going to be a commercial come on and say, well, the day of the Lord is tomorrow. None of that. They're going to be saying peace and safety.
That's what they're going to be
and
saying.
Sudden destruction is going to come up on them as birth pains on a woman with child. That's what the word says. See, people are going to be saying, oh, we're at peace now. We signed the accord with Israel. Let me ask you something about those peace treaties. They got them going on now. How many peace treaties have they broken?
All of them.
Every one of them.
That's why they still signed.
That's why Jeremiah said they're going to be saying peace, peace. When there is no peace.
Amen.
That's why Kim Jong-un is over there plotting to send nuclear bombs and stuff. And they're threatening each other back and forth on the news.
Yeah.
But do you need to worry about it? No, not if you're saved. So I hope you are going to be saved. If you're not today, I hope you will. Peter says this. Let's look on. Because God is going to burn it all up anyway.
Amen.
That's why you don't want to get too invested in stacking up a bunch of junk. Unless you're doing it so you can promote the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Come on, preacher.
Seeing that all these things are to be dissolved in this manner, what sort of persons ought you to be? In holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire, read what the text says, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's talking about stuff, we chemical stuff. The everything is made of the elements. We have a thing in science we call the periodic chart of elements. That's when they call it that, because periodically they find something else they didn't know existed. Well, here's some boron. Oh, okay, we didn't know that existed. Well, here's radium, and here's different kinds of stuff. They find stuff, and that's called the periodic chart of elements. But says here the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, speaking of believers, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Yeah.
See that? God has promised that to you.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get hung up now worried about all the kind of stuff people are worried about. Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Yeah.
You don't even need to understand it, the psalmist says. I mean, the Proverbs writer. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. He says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. That's how you should be living. And account the long suffering of our Lord as salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, is written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of the things in which are some things hard to be understood. In other words, plan to study. Plan to get some knowledge so you can understand it. Some deep stuff is in God's word. We want to take you into it. We like getting nuggets of truth and sending it over to you. That's what we do here. He says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Because the people twist the scriptures to their own destruction, you see. But what God said is certainly going to come to pass. But you grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So people who don't take advantage of living life right now based on the outcome of life, they will be sorry about the choices which they have made rather than taking the opportunity to live in such a way that they could reap the most overall benefit based on the truth rather than the fleeting pleasures of the moment. As Peter stated, who gives us the outcome of all things according to God's eternal plans for humanity as he encourages all believers to live in light of the decree of God's plan. That's what he's saying. Since we know how it's going to turn out, live that way. And you know what? You can take it to the bank.
Yes.
And you don't even have to have a penny. There was a widow with two mites there in the Bible, and she offered more, Jesus said, than everybody else who came to the offering. She had two pennies. People were putting in hundreds of dollars, but they had some left. She had nothing. That was it. This is all I have. I give it to the Lord. That's why Jesus said her offering was bigger than everybody else's, but she had nothing else. When she left there, her dependence is on God. I've been trusting him all this time. I'm going to honor him with this offering.
Yes.
And he's going to take care of me. I don't know what happened to her, but I know she was blessed.
Oh, yes.
It's not written in the word.
But
we know she was blessed. That's the kind of way she lived.
Yes.
She lived based on the outcome of things. Because she know how God's been doing me.
Yes.
I don't have any reason not to trust him.
There you go.
Have no reason not to believe that he won't provide for me.
All right.
Have no reason to think anything except that he is worthy.
Yes.
He takes care of me. He restores my soul.
Yes.
He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. My cup runneth over.
Yes.
God has got my back.
Yes.
That's how we have to live. Live like
Glory.
That.
Amen.
God's going to take care of you. He's been doing it.
Yes.
So I felt like that. I thought about some of the stuff I did. I said, boy, you could have took that wrought iron and cracked me upside the head many days. Anytime. And I deserved it. I still deserve it. But he's a good God. He loves you.
Amen.
I want to ask everyone to stand at this time. Amen. And this was a pretty deep word. That's what happens when I get too long to think about it. So I'm sorry about the little extension of time here.
We need some
Amen.
Meat.
We need some meat. I just want to say, informationally, as we're standing at this time, to Brother Jeremiah, just a little bit I want to say about him. He was a little kid about this high when I met him. And he was hearing the word back in those days. And then the Lord fixed it so he could come back into my life later on in my ministry.
Amen.
And see that he's still in the word.
Yeah.
You don't know what they did for me. When he came in here and I met his mom, that's Robbie's cousin, I think. Back then. Huh? Niece. Okay, gotcha. I knew she was some kin to Sister Robbie. And I knew her, and then I knew him, but I didn't know that he had continued in the word all these years. So when she came in, I said, well, he looked like he was really into what we were preaching. And she said, yeah, he's really into the word. He knows all those verses that you were
reading.
Wow. It just floored me that God had taken him through.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say formally that he had accepted membership here about a year ago. So we want to welcome him.
We're going to give him the right hand to fellowship, but before we do that,
let's just say that whoever else is here, if you're not saved, today is a good day to be saved.
Yes, it is.
Amen. And if you haven't been baptized, it is a good time to make those arrangements right now.
Yes,
amen. Do it while you still have the blood running warm in your veins. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't harden your heart. God said, come right now. Amen. Come right now. Be a part of his body. Let's just sing a verse or two of that and we'll go out. I need you. You need me. And we're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. Praise his will. Come right now while the song is being sung. Need be supplied. Come and join the church right now. Amen. We're here for you. We want to teach you. We like to disciple you, bring you up in the things of the truth, so that you can begin to live your life based on the outcome. Amen. That's how you ought to be thinking. Don't think about temporary stuff.
You know, think about the outcome. How is everything going to be? Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures here on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves do not break through nor steal. So you can have stuff already laid up for you if you start on it now. And it has to do with how you use what God has given you right now. Amen. And we're going to use whatever we have to send the word of God to the ends of the earth. Amen. So we're going to go right here. We see that there are none, but yet there is room.
We're going to extend unto you the right hand of fellowship, all rights and privileges. Amen.
Oh, joy divine.